From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe. Certainly not the worst decision of your week. I'm sure of it. And if it is, well, then I would call that a pretty good week. We are your optimistic podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, here today listening through or talking through a Chelsea episode, depending on which one of us you are in this situation.
Yep. I'm Taylor in this situation.
Okay.
I hope you have a good episode, Chelsea.
Damn it, I've been had.
Okay, just kidding. I threw my voice pretty good there, I know. I do a pretty good Taylor. Today, I'm going to talk to you, Taylor, about UAPs. And not just any UAPs, a very specific kind of UAP that is widely spotted all over the place. Want to take a guess?
First, I really can't wait for that episode where it's just any UAP.
Yeah.
That we're doing an episode
any UAP.
We're going to be looking out the window for the next 2 hours.
Is that
whatever shows up, we're talking about.
That wasn't one.
That one is unidentified for now.
Where to take a gander?
Is it the Black Triangle?
It is.
Okay, I was trying to think back if we'd done that one or not, because that's probably the most famous of them.
Okay, I hope not. I didn't actually check that we haven't done it yet. Yeah, triangle shape. Not to be confused with pyramid-shaped UAP, which are two totally different things, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And like Taylor just said, it has to be one of the most popular UAP shapes. There's so many shapes that are to be had by UAPs, but whoever the hell is driving these things, the clear choice is triangle. It's the strongest shape, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you're talking about exactly, but sure. I would also add, if you're going to have a mass sighting, it really seems like triangle shape is the most likely you're going to see.
Yeah. Probably.
I've counted them up or anything like that. It just kind of feels like that. But yeah, triangles are pretty strong.
They are? Okay, good. I'm just going to clarify again because I know it's confusing. I would consider these more of a boomerang shape than triangle, in case you were also picturing a pyramid in your head. I'm not going to let it go. I was sure for the longest time that these UAPs were pyramid shaped.
No, to be fair, we don't really know what shape they are, because triangle is a two-dimensional shape, and I'm fairly certain these are not two-dimensional crafts.
True.
You know, however, is a triangle again above them, and therefore a pyramid. We just don't
know. Yeah, I haven't ever heard it, actually, now that you're saying it, described as a three-dimensional shape, because I don't think anybody's maybe they're seeing them from another angle.
Nope. Yeah, they're usually in the sky, and there people are on the ground that you hear these stories from.
Yeah, but we did have an episode where it came to like that I was picturing pyramids, and they are not pyramids. Just in case anyone has the same issue that I have mentally. So there are so many encounters of these triangle-shaped craft, often described as dark in color, hovering or moving slowly and eerily silently, and reaching sizes larger than a football field. And sometimes they're dotted with lights, accentuating the triangle boomerang shape. I'm actually going to do this episode a little bit backwards.
Do you think that's how the triangle spacecraft salesman sells it? They add the extra lights because it accentuates the sleek triangleness.
It accentuates the shape because that's what you want
in your secret craft.
Yeah. It's the most popular design, and this is really going to accentuate that shape of the boomerang.
Yeah. Because, and really, people are going to be confused about what shape it is, because you're going to see it at night and you're going to be like, is it fully a triangle? Is it a boomerang? I don't know. Is it a flying V? Is it just geese? Yeah, that's why you need these accentuating lights for the sexiness of the craft. These upsales sell themselves.
Yeah. And quiet versus all the honking you hear with a V of geese.
That upgrade isn't as popular. Or it's too popular and the geese got it all.
So, as I was saying, I'm going to start with some of the most popular sightings that you may have heard about the Black Triangles. First up, we have the 1980s Hudson Valley sightings. During the 1980s, there are several hundred people claimed to have witnessed UAPs flying over or near to the Hudson River in New York State. The craft was often said to move slowly and silently, as is very common, like I said. And sometimes it would hover for extended periods of time before moving away. Many sightings were accompanied by reports of strange electromagnetic effects like car engine stalling and radio interference. Despite the large number of witnesses, the sightings were never conclusively explained and various theories emerged. Some suggested the possibility of military exercises, while others speculated about UFOs or experimental aircraft. Hudson Valley sightings remain one of the most famous and well-documented UFO phenomena in the United States, and I'm pretty sure we did do an episode on this one, I think.
I think we did, yes.
Don't hold me to it. Moving on, 1989 to 1992 is the Belgian UAP wave, and the Belgian UFO wave began in November 1989. The events of the 29th of November were documented by over 30 different groups of witnesses and three separate groups of police officers. All of the reports related to a large object flying at a low altitude. The craft was flat and triangular with lights underneath. The giant craft did not make a sound as it slowly moved across the landscape of Belgium. Most witnesses reported that the objects were silent. The Belgian UFO wave peaked with the events on the night of March 30th, 1990. On that night, one unknown object was tracked on radar, and two Belgian Air Force F-16s were sent to investigate, with neither pilot reporting seeing the object. No reports were received from the public on the date, but over the next 2 weeks, reports from 143 people who claimed to have witnessed the object were received, all of them after the event. Over the ensuing months, many others claimed to have witnessed these events as well. This is definitely entire episode worthy, but you're just getting a brief glimpse at it here. These major sightings of black triangle UFOs.
We could have done more work, but we choose not to. And you all know that if you've been here long enough, we give you the gist.
Exactly.
A little bit more.
And plus, the last one, we did have another episode on, and the next one that I'm going to read now does have another episode on it, so it's not like we may not cover one of these in a future episode.
I'm sure you don't have an answer.
Just a brief clips.
I'm sure you don't have an answer for this, but I would just be curious if the Belgian wave extended past the borders of Belgium anywhere.
I have an answer. No.
Oh, because like even one of your stories is on the German border. So like, I know.
I'm assuming so, like, the majority of them, just based on this, and this is my assumption, took place within Belgium's confines.
Yeah, but it's easy enough to generalize it and just say it's the Belgian wave. Hey, and it's not like the Belgian, some of Germany, but only that one time, and a little bit in France, but only that one time.
Which is super strange as well, because it's in Europe, so it's such a small area of land as well. So yeah, it is coming from Belgium on this one, and I'm going to stick with that. And on to the next one we've covered in an episode, as I alluded to, the 1997 Phoenix Light, which was a widely reported appearance of black triangles involved in the Phoenix Light. Yes, I know that. During which, multiple unidentified objects were observed near Phoenix, Arizona, and videotaped by both the local media and residents beginning on Thursday, March 13, 1997. The objects, or lights, which appeared to be grouped in a large V formation that lingered for several minutes. Some residents reported one of the black triangles to be over a mile wide, and then it drifted slowly over their house, blocking out the night sky stars. An official report from the U.S. Air Force concluded that the military had been locally testing aircraft launch flares during that period, and it was also witnessed by Kurt Russell. Very important.
Yes, no, which we have had an episode on in the past.
Yeah, Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
And, which brings me to the next one, the 2000 Millennium Southern Illinois incident. The St. Clair Triangle, the UFO over Illinois, the Southern Illinois UFO or Highland, Illinois UFO sighting occurred on January 5th, 2000 over the towns of Highland, Upo, Lebanon, Shiloh, Summerfield, Millstad, and O'Fallon, Illinois.
See, this is the problem you get when you try to be overly encompassing is you get a really hard to name blip.
Yeah, too many options on this.
Yeah, like just go with Belgium. Just call it the Belgian one because I saw it first.
Yeah. Beginning shortly after 4 a.m. In the early hours of January 5th, 2000, residents and on-duty police officers in St. Clair County, Illinois, witnessed a prolonged UAP encounter. Object described as triangular and about the size of a football field. They're all described as the size of a football field.
Are we talking the same football field? I guess technically they're about the same size. Never mind.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
Are we including like the track around a football field and the stadium seats, or just like it's about 100-ish meters yards?
I feel like the people who are saying that aren't thinking about that. So maybe.
I don't know. If somebody says it's as big as a football field, I don't know. Are they just talking about the field? Would you just picture a field?
No, but I don't think they're being that specific about it.
Yeah.
To be honest. And I'm not, if I saw something like that, I'd be like, holy shit, that's huge. It's the size of a football field.
And this is the problem.
Actually, know by eyeing something if it was actually the size of a field, I feel
in my mind, you really can't because this is something in the sky. So you don't really have any way of, what's it called? Referencing a reference point for how big it is or how far away it is. So I don't, unless these people are good at it.
Yeah, I feel like it might just be a turn of phrase, being that they saw something really big and they want to compare it to something really big.
Because like I see the moon in the sky.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know it's bigger than a football field. I know it's bigger than a football field because I have a reference point to how far away it is. But I do have to trust a lot of other people that it's that big.
But at the same time, like I'm looking at the moon, I wouldn't say that it's as big as a football field.
I wonder how many people would describe it to someone. Yeah.
I would be like, if you held a loony up into the sky, it's like that.
Oh, you've just confused so many of our listeners. It's as big as a toonie, Chelsea. Come on. Much easier to get referenced.
And I've never heard this talked about, actually. And when somebody's saying something as big as a football field. So you bring up a good point.
Yeah.
And it might just be people trying to think of something big to say it was huge.
You know what? It could have just been John Keel was the first one to do the investigations. And that was his opening question. So was it as big as a football field?
As big as a football field. And they were like, yes. And now everybody says it. But like,
and did it have legs that went on for miles? Was it silent like somebody masturbating on the other end of the phone line? Oh, no, he specifically says not like, but yeah.
What would you, if you saw something huge in the sky, what else could you compare it to? Hey, that's as big as Superstore.
Yeah, I don't know, car lengths? You see planes in the sky, so maybe you could compare it to a plane?
But that's not as big. I wouldn't say a plane's as big as a football field. Like, what could be about that size that's big?
Well, two planes, Chelsea. It's the size of two planes.
But at the same time, I'm not going to be like, wow, that's the size of seven planes.
Yeah, there's a point where you got to switch it off because
you got to switch it to something bigger.
Unless,
right?
Yeah, but that's how,
the size of like a Walmart.
But at the same time, like none of those things are triangle shaped that you're trying to compare it to. Superstores, Walmarts, football fields. I don't think we have any triangle sporting fields.
No, so that's why they're going with football field. I'm just trying to think of what else, if not football field, would I compare this to?
Baseball diamond,
okay.
Because that's half of a
hockey rink?
That's not going to help us in any way.
Okay, so it might... It's just
also, it's only about 100 feet or 110 feet or whatever it is.
It's also like a football field. Okay. Where the fuck am I?
But yeah, you are right. It's hard to have reference points in this.
Yeah, I feel like when we actually say it, that it's just something huge and even, they have no other reference.
It's as big as a football. What if it wasn't? What if it was smaller than a football field? What would you use as a reference point? Or would you just say it is smaller than a football field?
See, I feel like if it's smaller, then you would use an airplane. Maybe an elephant.
But how many elephants until you have to convert it to an airplane?
Or
her football field.
Her football field. No, how many airplanes until you got to start using football fields?
It's way too technical at this point. I don't fucking know. I've never seen one. I've never needed to measure something in the sky. I have no reference.
I'm just going to wait for John Keel to tell me how to feel.
He's dead. You're never going to know.
Well, not with the AI technology we have now.
Oh, no. He's going to come back to interview witnesses.
It's going to be so sexist. He's going to be pissed with the way society went.
I know, but he's going to fit right in.
What's this Me Too thing?
Okay, football field. That's where I got to. It also moves slowly and silently over the area. One of the first witnesses, 66-year-old Melvern Knoll, saw a bright light that appeared to be a big house floating in the air, with windows visible on the craft. There we go. Something else. Knoll observed the object for about 5 minutes before it disappeared. He reported the sighting to the Highland Police, who passed the information to other officers, including Officer Ed Barton. This sighting is part of a larger pattern of triangle UFO reports, which have sparked ongoing speculation about whether these objects are extraterrestrial craft or top secret military technology. The Illinois UFO incident remains a point of interest for UFO enthusiasts and investigators, and has been featured on multiple TV shows. Now, that audiobook for The Mothman Prophecies, I didn't expect that it would forever change.
It would have such an impact on our podcast.
2004 to 2006, Tinley Park Lights. Three lights hovered in a triangular formation. Oh, this is not a triangle UFO, though.
It's a very abstract triangle so far.
Triangular formation were seen by multiple witnesses in Tinley Park and Oak Forest, Illinois. Another Illinois. Why isn't this in the Illinois one?
Question really has to be asked now. Are they hitting moth people?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of things going on in the sky there.
But are they maybe moth people? Because UFO sightings and moth people go hand in hand, as we've seen in Illinois sightings, at least. And the Mothman Prophecies. Now that I think about it, they just appear in the same book.
That would be a big moth person.
It would be. That would be terrifying.
And also weirdly triangular with lights.
On August 21st, 2004, 2 months later, on October 31st, 2004, again on October 1st, 2005, and again on October 31st, 2006. Some witnesses photographed the lights and captured them on video. According to some ufologists, video evidence suggests the lights kept geometrical shape and moved as if they were attached through a dark object. The incident was examined on Dateline NBC episode on May 18th, 2008. I don't know if I've heard about that one or not. I'm not sure if
I haven't at all.
I just gave.
But to be fair, I hadn't heard of the other Illinois one either.
No, neither. The other ones too, but they're famous enough to make it into these notes. 2008, Stephenville, Texas. This sighting occurred in January 2008 in Stephenville, Texas. But who made the notes for this? Jeez. A numerous residents reported seeing strange lights in the sky. Witnesses describe the lights as large, bright, and moving erratically. Some even stating they appeared to be a part of a large craft. The lights were observed for several minutes, and some witnesses claim to have seen a large, silent, triangular, or cigar-shaped object. Some even claim the occupants inside were mantis beings. The U.S. military later acknowledged the presence of fighter jets in the area at the time, but denied any connection to the sightings. The incident gained widespread media attention, fueling speculation about UFOs and government cover-ups. So, those are just some of the more famous sightings that included black triangles. And while the ones I mentioned are more modern, these sightings go back centuries, to my surprise, and maybe yours. And that's why I'm sharing it with you. We have very good witness testimony going back to the late 20s, even later. I couldn't find documentation for the ones that I found, even going back into like the 1500s. So I have some from the 20s here, or maybe I don't. I don't know. They only wrote the episode. These sightings all describe basically the same thing as I just went through these more modern day sightings with you, with the same type of triangular craft demonstrating the same characteristics. And the coming of the internet would also contribute to the spreading of these ones versus the ones that go further back. So now I'm going to go over some less popular ones, I guess, that maybe you haven't heard of because they're going back a little further than these more mass sightings. Yeah. September 1960. There was basically identical in description to the Belgian craft, and the Belgian craft are basically identical to the other ones. It was a standard triangle UFO with points of light on each tip and revolving red light at the center. Just like the Belgian craft, it was silent, hovered, and also zipped off at high speed, and it was witnessed by an Air Force vet, his family, his neighbors, and a police officer. I'm going to read to you the actual newspaper article here, if I can zoom in on it to actually read it. Yep. Okay, triangle that flies sighted along shore. September 17, 1960. Richard Ireton has come up with a new flying saucer angle, a triangle that flies. He reports having seen a flying triangle in the shoreline area 2 weeks ago.
Is that the story?
Nope. I'm just trying to read his last name. Ireton, who lives at 34 Grove Road. I love it when they put the addresses in the newspaper. Here. Said he and his wife first noticed it about 11:30 p.m. while they were driving on something number one in Westbrook. It was hovering 80 feet or so above the cottages along the oceanfront when it moved noiselessly and lightning fast. It traveled in the direction of its apex when going upward and in the direction of its sides when moving sideways. What the fuck is he talking about? In other words, the view of the moving triangle was the same as that of an equilateral triangle or
isosceles.
If I zoom in, it gets all blurry. Alien triangle, as it would appear drawn in two dimensions on a sheet of paper. Scalene triangle a thing?
I'm trying to...
Ireton, a machinist, is an Air Force veteran. He said the...
Oh, it is. Scalene triangle.
It is. There you go. For all those people who would picture exactly
all what sides are unequal and all angles have different measures. Okay. That's really weird then.
It still doesn't make sense.
That is really weird.
Yeah. So he's an Air Force veteran. He said the mysterious object appeared to be about the axle of a fighter aircraft or possibly a bit bigger. At two points of the triangle were white lights, and at the apex a blue light shone. In the middle of the solid figure, a red light flashed, much like the light stop of a police cruiser. Anticipating ridicule and disbelief, Ireton withheld reporting the strange sight for a fortnight, but he got such a good look at it that his curiosity eventually got the better of him. He notified state police. "Don't want the publicity," he says. "I'm just dying to know what it was that I saw." And inclined to the belief that it was a new type of aircraft the government is testing. Ireton's father and several neighbors at the shore also reported seeing the object, though not at so close a distance. But one minute it was hovering over the beach, and the next moment it had zoomed up so high it appeared to be one of the stars, end quote, he said. And it never made a sound. Ireton had the object in his binoculars for a good half an hour. "It was weird," he says. "I don't mind telling you, my wife was scared." He has heard nothing from the official sources as to what the object was. A belief indicated that he received reports of other sightings, he said. And that was a very difficult to read news article about that sighting.
Well, in any event, it will sound better in the edits.
It really will.
It's going to sound so professional.
June 18, 1950, similar triangle sighting to the previous encounter, but it didn't have the light on each tip.
Can I just make a prediction on this one?
Yes.
John Keel's showing up and he's saying that it's the size of a football field, focusing on the situation.
Wouldn't that be so funny if he showed up? Okay, here we have a crossword puzzle that I actually would be loving to do. This is breeds of canines, and there's a picture of a puppy in the middle of the crossword.
Puppy's not a breed, Chelsea.
Yes, it is. Depicted breed of canine. Well, this blank was developed in Mexico.
Oh, this dog.
I was going to say bitch.
Okay, anyhow, I feel like there's something else we should be talking about.
Okay. I was distracted by the puppy in the middle of a crossword. Flying saucer at Roscoe maneuvers and then speeds. Roscoe's first flying saucer was spotted recently, June 8th, about 3 p.m., their first flying saucer, by W.C. Kelly at his farm 5 miles southeast of here, according to a report in the Roscoe Times. Quote, Kelly was plowing and was prompted to look upwards by hearing an airplane passing over, end quote, the Times reported. Quote, he saw the plane flying above the clouds, but he also saw a strange triangular object under the clouds. It was turning and maneuvering in a remarkable manner. The airplane passed on out of hearing, but the triangular object remained and continued its maneuvering without making any noise at all. Kelly said it appeared to be 10 feet or larger in diameter, and its edges looked to be aluminum.
Huh. That's a really weird thing to pick. Yeah. Is it because it seemed cutting edge at the time?
It looks like I could just reach out this, and crinkle it up.
Yeah. This thing's so advanced, like the aluminum of its day. It kind of reminds me that it came up in Behind the Bastards on Napoleon III, that he was trying to be super fancy, so he didn't get cutlery made of gold and silver. His was made of aluminum, because at the time, aluminum was incredibly rare. So time really played him for the fool.
It really did, because that's super shitty. After several maneuvers, objects suddenly took off in a southeasterly direction at a tremendous burst of speed, estimated by Kelly to be several times the speed of sound. How would he estimate that? It was going so fast. It disappeared from sight in about 4 seconds, he said. Kelly said the object definitely was operated by some form of power, that it was highly maneuverable and was not...
It wasn't just wind assisted.
Yeah, he could not estimate its height accurately. Well, I mean, I couldn't say he estimated any of that accurately.
That's not true. He estimated aluminum.
Plainly visible. Although flying saucers have been reported from many other places, this was the first glimpse reported by any Roskin of the strange objects, which many people are now beginning to believe are some sort of secret weapon of the United States. Well, that left a lot to be imagined.
Well, it does line up with like every sighting outside of that one Belgian flap is in the US.
Yeah, it does, but he really took a lot of educated guesses on nothing on that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And it goes to show what you've been saying, like you can't really guess without
having a reference point,
frame of reference. The next one I'm going to share with you is a news segment on a massive baseball home plate shaped craft flying around in Bridgewater, Massachusetts. I'm assuming what Mass is short for, in 1979. Witnessed by two reporters and a number of other people in the area. So I'm going to share my screen.
Yeah, there we go. We did it.
Yeah, I've done it.
Time viewers of Channel 5 know the name Steve Sprazia. Steve was a reporter
for
News Center 5 for 16 years until he moved.
Are we going to be learning about leprechauns?
2005.
And before that, Steve was a local radio reporter. That's when he became part of the story of the Bridgewater Triangle.
The spring of 1979 proved to be the most active period of documented UFO sightings in the history of the Bridgewater Triangle region. A number of news outlets and law enforcement agencies were flooded with reports of large, low-flying UFOs. During that time, former WHDH reporters Jerry Lopes and Steve Sprazia claimed to have witnessed what is arguably
the most famous
UFO sighting.
With the sinister music playing in the background, I'm predicting their deaths.
Jerry Lopes and I worked at WHDH Radio, and we were heading down to the Raynham Dog Track, and when we got off 24 onto 106, I noticed this really bright light over the tree line, and the light was coming closer and closer and getting bigger and bigger. And I remember saying to Jerry, what is that over there? So we pulled his vehicle over, and all of a sudden the stars blotted out in the shape of an arrow as this thing passed overhead.
Ironically, a big baseball fan.
Oh, that's...
It looked like a baseball home.
That wasn't quite a triangle, though.
On it.
And it was very, very wide. Perhaps the width of now, we'd say, 5747s wing to wing.
It looked like it had a little cord or something hanging off, and sparks were coming.
Are they not on assignment? Did they not have a camera with them?
And also, Chelsea, why did they not reference it as a football field?
Pretty much the shape of it. and this thing passed overhead.
These are professional.
Like this.
Oh, they got a model.
For me,
it's not a model.
This light that kind of.
It's got a light on it.
Came into our field of vision, just like that. And as this thing passed overhead, it just kept coming and coming and coming.
There it is. It's coming right for us.
I'm an Air Force veteran.
Big as a football field.
I've been in the Air Force for 4.5 years. I've been around a number of different planes, and I said to Steve, that's not one of ours. And it just hovered there for a minute. It looked like it was over a little bit of a field. And the next thing you know, it just kind of took off.
Oh, they really made it more sinister than it had to be. I'm waiting for the death in the story.
That evening was, what did we see? Up to that point, I had been 100% skeptic. I thought anybody who ever saw these things, they were either crazy or publicity hounds, or there was just something wrong with them in their head altogether. What I didn't realize at the time was that a lot more people had seen it than just Jerry and I.
Interestingly, over the course of the next week, there were a series of spottings, different sightings. It was reported in the papers, reported on the radio station. And at that point, Steve and I decided to come forward and say, you know, hey, you know, we actually saw something.
A couple of days later, an article appears in the Brockton Enterprise. And not only does it have interviews with Jerry and I, but quite a number of other folks in and around the Randolph area who had seen it. But they've got the staff artist to take
like
all of our
recollections. The shape of a triangle for where it was seen. And they're picking the spot outside of the triangle, too.
Pretty much like this.
So great to see Steve again.
Hey, joining that's
us now,
his
the
model.
Co-directors of the Pushwise
Triangle. Stole his model.
Aaron Cadieu and Manny Famularay. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for
so
having
let's
us.
Start with what drew you to the subject to begin with.
Well, growing up as a kid, I was into the unusual. I loved the TV show Unsolved Mysteries. So we had a family friend that had told me about some weird things happening in and around.
Is that Corey Good?
So I remember going to the library and
a slightly chubbier Corey Good.
It's like a shitty version.
I was only a kid. And
growing
up around
just a little bit of extra air was blown into him.
I loved taking it wherever I went. And I remember saying to a friend, I want to make a movie.
Okay, I'm going to stop this. Is I don't know what these guys are talking about. I'm just after the.
I like their story.
Yeah, and he made a model. He was really into it.
He was into it, and then somebody just came along and stole it.
Yep. So that one
Although,
speaks for itself.
We got to learn who their background music guy is. He did a great job on.
Oh,
this.
I would like to get my hands on that background music. I really would. That was good background music. And now we've gone over a few newspaper reports. I'm going to move on to some Reddit sightings. User Lynchbot, which sounds promising. I've seen it when I was young. Hundreds have. I've met three others who've seen it at completely different times. One during the day. When I saw it, the road was packed with traffic. It was night and raining. Then three huge lights come over the hill and zigzag over us and the road into the distance. It was probably the size of a football field, but it could be bigger or smaller. See? It's just a turn of phrase.
It really is.
Yeah, we figured some shit out on this episode. There was a photo of it in the paper the next day, but at the daytime and high up. Why are we not seeing this? I've never seen any footage as close as I was to this thing. I was in the car and the lights were just enormous. Each one felt bigger than the car, but it was pitch black, so hard to tell how far away it was in order to make any real claims on size. Okay, so he admits it. My dad never got over the event and is terrified still.
I love that he decided he still had to throw in his around the size of a football field. And then, like, I can't claim any size.
Yeah, but I feel like that's what everybody's claim is. He's just admitting it. That's what I feel in my bones. I was in the Lake District in the UK, lots of military around there. I have no idea what it was. I've heard and read all the theories. I've met people who claim to work on similar tech. I've heard of similar tech being shut down by governments. I've seen videos of the tech working, but only to backyard science levels, and they could easily be faked. It's very hard to say, and who knows what the truth was. And that is a true Reddit story right there. And we're quickly on to the next with user time underscore composer underscore 113. I witnessed one in the mid-2000s. It was late night, early morning. I went out back and happened to notice it as I was just sort of scanning the yard and sky while I smoked. As I recall, it was directly above my back door and above my head. It was just there.
I went inside and told my sister, quote, there's a goddamn UFO outside. You have to come see it. It took me a moment to convince her, but she finally came and saw it too. It was right where I said it was. It stayed for a few minutes and just took off. It didn't make any sound, same as reported by others. I've never heard of one before and just assumed it was top secret military stuff and didn't put much thought into it until later, after 2017, when I started wondering what was up with it. I looked it up and yeah, it turns out they're well documented, which wasn't surprising since if I had seen one, surely others had too. There isn't a clear theory, but they're real. They just are, whatever they are. There's decent photos and videos as well.
You know what? There's actually a pretty good chance that that person saw one of the Illinois sightings.
There is.
It was from when that lined up, and yeah, they said that there were stories about it.
You're totally right. Yeah, mid-early 2000s. He doesn't say exactly where he is, but it's very true. User Roy Wheezy. I've seen the black triangles myself. 2009, when I was a smoker. We are missing so many.
We are missing so many UFO sightings because of the decline in smoking. But one of those negatives nobody talks about.
It is. And when a doctor says you need to quit smoking, but you're going to be inside more, you're going to have less of a chance of seeing UFOs.
And society will lose because of this.
Yeah, so don't take the decision lightly. I stepped outside just after midnight to smoke a cig. It was a very clear and cold night. I live in Washington State. But the moon was high and bright in the sky, making the sky a dark blue rather than black. All of a sudden, I saw a movement above me. I'm kind of always looking up at night to see meteors, satellites, and planes. Anyway, I look towards the motion and see seven lights in tight formation. They had the brightness of a satellite or star, not blinding by any means. They were also very high, but I don't think they were in orbit. After I focus on these lights for maybe one full second, I could see black triangles between them. They were flying in a row of three, and their wingtips were touching, hence the seven lights instead of nine. They shared the wingtip light. It flew right over my head and behind me and traveled off in the distance. That's weird. There were more mountains in that direction, so it didn't take long for them to disappear. The whole sighting lasted maybe 8 to 10 seconds and was completely silent. No jet noise or anything. Seeing these craft has led me to believe that either A, aliens and UFOs exist in our universe and in our skies, or B, the government, most likely the USA, has some fairly exotic tech that they aren't telling us about. But did they build it themselves or reverse engineer something they found, which would mean A is also true. Either conclusion is crazy to me. The short sighting has had a profound effect on the way I think and see the world. I insist that people should look up and watch the skies more often. You could have your own profound 10 seconds or take up smoking.
I was kind of waiting for this to be sponsored by Camel Cigarettes.
Yep. User Unicorn Copia 23, sighting at Pyramid Lake, Nevada. In 2017, my parents were visiting from another state. I decided to take them to my favorite place, Pyramid Lake, Nevada. We were also accompanied by my partner and my roommate. The three of us went there almost every weekend. I was like, wow, that's such a weird way to refer to as your partner. Hello, this is my partner and roommate. But there's three of them, not just two.
Okay, so, yes. The commas are very important there.
Yes. So, five people total saw this. When it got dark, we were all kind of standing around the shore looking out at the stunning sunset before us. Suddenly, my dad shouts, "What the hell is that?" He points at the water. Some sort of small craft with lights on it was moving towards us under the water. It was five lights in a triangle formation, one at the front and two on each side like an upside down V. It was either being controlled remotely or driven by something very tiny because the thing was only 18 inches wide.
That is not a football field.
That is definitely not a football field. It seemed to be moving intelligently, if that makes sense. My roommate threw a rock at it, and it somehow managed to dart fast to the side without disturbing the water. There were ripples from the rock, but no additional motion created by the craft itself, and it reversed and went backwards into the depths. My parents instantly started to freak out. My dad just kept saying, "What the hell? What the hell?" And my mom was saying that she wanted to leave. Myself, my partner, and my roommate were a lot less freaked out. We're used to seeing weird stuff at the lake. Strange things happen there all the time. The three of us had witnessed plenty of things that we can't explain, although nothing quite like this. Well, now I want to know what they saw.
Why, and why do they keep going back there? Is it just like that cheap?
The fact that they're like, eh, we've seen
weird things. It kind of happens. Yeah. You got to assume it's really cheap around there.
I mean, don't get me wrong, we were all shocked too, but not nearly as freaked out as my parents were. It was their first paranormal experience of any kind, and they were terrified. We're all standing on the shore because that's where our camp is set up, kind of arguing about whether or not we should leave when the thing comes back again. It comes even closer than before, and the yellowish lights fade into more of an intense green color. Now, here's where things get really fucked up. None of us can remember what happened after that. We still sometimes talk about it to this day, years later, and none of us can remember seeing it leave a final time or anything after. Basically, all of our memories blank until we were in the car driving away. Whatever happened after the second time it approached, we will never know because apparently all of our memories were wiped. The entire rest of the memory is super clear, but once the light on that craft turned green, everything goes blank for all five of us. I've seen a lot of things I can't explain, apparently at this lake, in particular at that lake. There, he said it.
At huge discounts.
And that's why we like it so much. I love that he's like, yeah, my parents will love it here. We see so much weird stuff here.
We got roofied by an 18-inch pyramid.
But nothing else has ever affected me like this. I don't know what happened, but every time I think about it, I feel this intense fear, and I don't know why.
And I'm planning our summer vacation. That's so just, we're going
back.
Yeah.
Just because this happened there. There's a lot of theories about what black triangles are. The big one that people talk about is the I don't know why I decided to not write this down and just say I would remember it. F-35?
I thought it was the B-52 that looks like it.
Is it B-52?
B-52. Nope, that's definitely not it.
F-35.
Okay.
Yeah, F-35. That, if it is military, a lot of it is explained away by being that. Obviously, like the last guy said.
And the guy who is really obsessed with the aluminum.
One of them said it could either be aliens or it's the military. One of the options is that it's extraterrestrial. One of the things that I really wanted to cover with the black triangles is the theory that these are in fact terrestrial. There's a lot of researchers that do link it back to terrestrial as well as military operation. One witness that viewed it through a rifle scope, that being a black triangle, and identified an English labeled rescue access panel as it flew over. Another witness decided to fire a couple rounds into one from his fishing boat, you know, as you do, not just shooting at UFOs, but also when you go fishing, you just have a few beers and have a gun and then you just shoot into the air, whether or not there's a UFO in the air.
Sometimes the fishing rod's just not working. So you got to have other means of doing your work.
Couple in the water, couple in the air.
Yeah.
That's just how you fish.
Hey, from the stories, triangles are coming from both directions.
Yeah, it's true. Only to have someone stick their head out of the black triangle and shout, "Quit shooting at us, you idiot," or something like that. And then shortly thereafter, a helicopter flew past and took pictures of the guy in the boat.
I'm glad they didn't yell at him, too.
And see, that, if I picture that scenario, I'm picturing a Zeppelin or something along those lines that's moving very slowly through the air that has the window ability to be like, "Hey, you stop that, you jackass." Not like a black triangle scenario. Also frequently spotted around military bases, which I think is a fun fact about them, which could also point to the fact that they're terrestrial. The Southern Illinois sightings occurred within 1 or 2 miles of Scott Air Force Base, home to the U.S. Air Mobility Command, which coordinates all global transportation for American troops. The Hudson Valley sightings happened in close proximity to Stewart Air Force Base. And Mellon has interviewed, which is a guy that writes about Black Triangle UFOs. I should have put that in here better. But he interviewed multiple Persian Gulf veterans who witnessed triangular craft near sensitive military operations. Quote, an adversary planning a future attack would want to know every inch of the battlefield, he says, alluding that they are ours.
Hmm.
Not ours, but, you know, military-owned terrestrial craft. And although the U.S. government has largely stayed silent on the matter, it's common knowledge that the Air Force has experimented with triangular and V-shaped aircraft for decades, including the B-2 Spirit Stealth Bomber and the F-117 Nighthawk, so we're both wrong, and possibly others kept under wraps. Sightings near the clandestine spy plane test facility in Area 51 in Nevada may indeed be connected to test flights of some of these crafts. And don't shoot the messenger. I know this isn't the greatest source, but I do know as well that Whitley Strieber is someone who has suggested as well that some UFOs may be operated by military forces as well, rather than extraterrestrial beings. Strieber has discussed in interviews and his writings that the possibility that certain UFO sightings might involve highly advanced human-made technology, particularly secret military or government aircraft. He has speculated that some of the UFO phenomena could be related to classified military projects, including the possibility of black ops or experimental aircraft developed by the military. I do know that in his book Communion, I believe it is, and I am going off memory right now, so don't hold me exactly to it.
That's like his only book, so just go with it.
No, he does have those fiction books that he wrote. Yeah. Nonfiction.
All of them are technically fiction.
Yeah.
He's got to get his episode soon.
Yeah, he really does. And he does explain in detail sightings that he does believe are humans that are abducting him, which has a totally different implication outside of extraterrestrial abductions. But then you get into things, if you look at it, and this really needs to be an episode too, because you get into, who was it, Roosevelt, that it is said that he made a contract with extraterrestrials to allow them to abduct humans?
Yeah,
was
FDR. Or was it Eisenhower? It's one of the two.
It's one of those.
It's right around World War II, so it's one of those two.
Yeah, so, and that's another episode to do as well. Maybe even a mini. I don't know how much information is out there on that. But it's all something to think about. And that's pretty much all I have on this. I really wanted to cover the human aspect of the black triangles. And also, I like black triangles. And I only learned just recently that black triangles were triangles and not pyramids. So it also was something that kind of blew my mind, and I figured I needed to look more into this in the concept of being a triangle and not a pyramid.
Yeah, and I think a fun thing to add to this, Chelsea, is government logos secretly hiding this technology in it. The first one that's not that great is, look up NASA's logo.
Does NASA even exist anymore?
Yeah, no, let's not worry about that. With that weird boomerangy shape to it. But
yeah. That's not even reason.
The even more fun one, Chelsea, is Space Force logo.
Hey, is that Serpo? Space Force. Oh yeah, that's a black triangle.
Yeah. So that brings just as many questions to mind as to why are they putting a black triangle into their logo like that? And because that is what's been described to us basically every time.
That is exactly how it would. And then it has that, even the little star in the middle, like was explained on some of them.
And the Space Force is the newest arm of the military that was founded under Donald Trump's first term.
Oh, wow.
And also ran into some controversy because a Netflix show got greenlit before Space Force, the military arm, was created. And the Netflix show was called Space Force, and they got to retain the rights because they were doing it before Space Force was created. So there's a series that's like two seasons long with Steve Carell. Yeah, Steve Carell.
Yeah,
as about Space Force. But it's not related because it was greenlit before the stamping was created. Because the truth is stranger than fiction. So
yeah, I love that. And yeah, was I going to add anything else? I think I had something to add, but then I forgot. It must not have been that important.
Probably not.
Yeah, that's what I have on the black triangles.
Awesome. And thank you for that, Chelsea. It gave us a few different ideas for what we're doing for future episodes, too. Not that we ever have a shortage of episodes that we need to do. But in any event, I have been Taylor. You're with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.